gets. I promise you that.
The following presentation is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, home to a vast array of sports and entertainment podcasts, including Two and a Half Wrestlers, Neckbreaker, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Inconclusive Breakdown, Midnight Jury, After Midnight, Apex Radio, and The Shining Wizards. Plus exclusive shows Thursday Night Destruction and Kevin Gill's King of Indies podcast. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audio Boom, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents
the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast
with your hosts,
the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
DMC makes everything better. I played it out a little bit. Little beats to the rhyme. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a special edition of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, where it's just me, your gracious host at that, the blue collar scholar, the impact player, Mr. Phil Rea. And from time to time, I want to do what I like to call a philatorial. Mainly, it's just stuff that either it's not wrestling-related, or I don't want to bother Dave with it, you know? And another reason why I want to do it is because I was too lazy to put together a best of when Dave and I are taking the week off, which we will be next week. But, because I love you all, and Sam Kinison's yelling in the background and on the instrumental. But, you know, since I love you all, and I think that it's cool that I can do something like this in my very busy schedule, when I have an hour or an hour and a half to kill, instead of doing something productive, I'll do this. Part of me is just lazy. Part of me is just like, you know, I'm very overwhelmed. I'm sad to say that my job consumes me. I do 10-hour shifts, and then I travel 4 hours a day to and from work. So, of course, people are like, well, what'd you buy a house on Staten Island for? It's so hard to get around. Well, because I can afford it. And you're still living in your apartment paying rent, the same amount of rent that I'm paying for a mortgage. So when I win that argument, nobody says anything else. So, and I have a lot to talk about, actually, that Dave probably doesn't want to talk about. So we'll get into it, man. We'll talk a little sports, talk a little TV, talk some wrestling, politics, but don't. Please don't get it twisted. I'm not going to get into a whole political rant. I just want to get my point across, because there's a lot of people on social media that somebody brings up something and somebody else panics. You know, somebody else panics, and then it becomes a full-fledged, like, hate thread. And I want to talk about social media for a second. I live and die by it right now because of the show. I live and die by it because of the show, and I also connect with people I haven't seen in 20 and 30 years. And I think it's fantastic to see that they've grown into wonderful and beautiful people and they have families of their own. And it's nice to get an encouraging message from people that you grew up with from back in the day. It just feels like that. It has that home feel to it where, you know, even though I live now 20 miles from where I grew up, it's probably the longest 20 miles of my life because I'm never there anymore, you know. I have family there. My parents still live there. My sister still live there. My brother still lives over there. Aunts, uncles, cousins, they all still live over there. But I'm never there. They all have families of their own. We don't get together like we used to when we were kids. And it was cool growing up because I always had my immediate family within a mile radius of my house. Like, we went to holidays and stuff, like Thanksgiving, Christmas and stuff. We can walk to a relative's house. We didn't have to drive anywhere, you know? I got spoiled growing up, you know? And that's part of the reason why I don't mind sometimes using mass transit. Because it gets me around. I don't have to park anywhere. And I'm just, not that I'm lazy, it's just I hate driving. I get anxiety. And you would say, hey, Phil, will you drive an ambulance? Yeah, but I tried not to when I was on the bus the whole time. You know, I used to have my partners do it a lot because I hate driving. I get anxiety. I'm actually getting help for it. It's not me that I'm worried about. Like, I'm good behind the wheel. Like, I'm not the guy who cuts people off. I don't speed. I barely use my fucking horn. I drive in the right lane just to save myself the grief. People are always in a hurry in New York. If you live in New York, or even in New Jersey in some parts, you know what I'm talking about. I'm afraid of getting hit. Like, that's my fear. I'm not afraid of hitting anybody because I'm not reckless, you know? I don't know what it is. I hate driving. I even had my driver's license and let it go because I never used it. I had to get it again for work, you know? It's something that I'm not proud of, but, you know, it's just something that I'm dealing with it, and I'm getting a lot better, and I'm driving a lot more. And it's cool now because my father-in-law is laid up. He had gotten surgery about 2 weeks ago on his knee, got a new knee. And he gave me his car. He's like, listen, man, you don't have any wheels. So now when I have downtime, I'm just using the car to get around. I drive to the school. I get Junior. I run errands. I used it to go shopping the other day. So, like, you know, that's cool. He left me the car with not even hesitation. He's like, yeah, take the car. You know, do what you got to do. Because sometimes it's hard when you only have one car. And like, my wife commutes also to work. So if I'm home and I want to go to the, I mean, I could walk to the supermarket from my house, but if I have to carry more than 3 bags, then I'm done. If I want to drive to the mall, I want to drive to PWS in Jersey, which I love doing because it's like a 15-minute, 18-minute straight run from my house to New Jersey. You know, I live next to 3 bridges that go to New Jersey. One of the bridges, which is in Bayonne, shout out to Dan Moff, by the way, Bayonne, I can pretty much walk to that bridge from my house. It's an 8-minute drive to New Jersey. Got those out of bridge 10 and 15 minutes respectively. So it's not terrible. But yeah, it's taken a toll on me the last couple of years. I'm not on the ambulance anymore like I used to be. Now I'm in the office. I'm doing communications and stuff like that. So I don't have to drive. Once in a while, they'll send me like on an assignment here, take the van and take these portable radios into Brooklyn and have them repaired or whatever. When the boss is too lazy to do it, he throws it on one of us, you know? And I work in Manhattan, so, you know, I don't have to drive anywhere for food because everybody delivers, you know. But once in a while, you get that, you know, we're crazy at work. We'll want some food from, like, Queens. And, like, my buddy's Colombian, so there's a Colombian spot that's awesome in Queens. And one of our supervisors, who's married to a Colombian, loves that kind of food, too. So he'll drive out to Queens just to get food. We've driven out to Brooklyn just to get, like, mozzarella, you know. So, you know, we have an eclectic taste at work, and we have a bunch of guys that, you know, don't feel like driving either, so. And the job consumes me, you know, being a first responder, now being a first responder on the phone. I'm mentally and a lot of times physically drained. So between that and battling my clinical depression, it's time consuming, and it really shouldn't be. You know, but I have very long work days, and I'm a parent, so I get my stepson every other week, and I get him once a week during the week, so I keep up with him. And, you know, my wife works like an animal, so we try to like work around us, you know. So I have a couple extracurricular activities besides this. I play Strat-O-Matic baseball. If you don't know what Strat-O-Matic baseball is, it's pretty much a game that was invented in the 50s. Basically, what it is a it's a card and dice game. The cards are actual baseball stats, real baseball stats from real baseball players. And you roll dice to see what they've done according to the charts that that come with the game. It's a pretty intense game because it's the advanced version. Because you can, you're the general manager, you're the manager, you're the coach, you're everything. You draft. We have like a live draft. I picked up the game after 20 years of not playing. I played hockey, Strat-O-Matic hockey and baseball in high school, and I only played the basic version. So I joined this league. And this league has been around for like 30 years, and all these guys, half these guys have no life. You know, they're either retired or they're older, and their kids are they're in college now. So, you know, you have to keep stats, and you have to keep, if your player hasn't had if your player hasn't had a lot of at-bats, then he's limited to what he can do during the season. If your pitcher hasn't pitched enough innings, you're limited to what your pitcher can do. So the hardest part of the game is keeping track of your players that are not unlimited. And you have to, it's like a 108 season game, and you play, you know, series, four game series each, and with the, it's like, in, you know, it's four teams per division. Unfortunately, when I came into the league, I inherited a pretty good team with not so good relief pitching. The team is fantastic. The problem is my relief pitching sucks, A, and B, I'm in the hardest division in the league. Like, every guy in my division can probably contend for a championship. That's how good their team is. And they've built their team through the draft. You trade for draft picks, and it's pretty intense. It's pretty fun. That keeps my mind off a lot of things. It keeps me thinking, and it keeps me from not pretty much taking a hostage. Between that and doing the podcast, I can honestly tell you that I have a pretty full plate between being a parent and a husband and even a big brother to my siblings. And, you know, trying to do the stuff necessary to run a good house. My wife and I make a really good team, and she does her extracurricular activities too, so we compensate each other. Just not enough time in a day, not enough hours in a week. You know, there are days where we think you have nothing to do, but, oh, we have no food. Like, oh, we got to clean the house. Oh, it's so-and-so's birthday. It's so-and-so's anniversary. Something's always going on. So we'll take some time to go away. And I'm going to take some time this summer to myself with the family, because I feel like I do the show every week live. And, you know, and I don't mind doing the show every week live. But, you know, Dave and I have come to a point now where it's where Dave is doing a lot more stuff extracurricular too. And he's trying to get his life back in order, and I'm trying to get my stuff in order. So every couple of weeks, if I take a week off, I'll try to do something like this, where I'll get my philatorial. Because, believe it or not, I like to talk. If you haven't noticed already, I like to talk. So, before I get any further, of course, this will be on rantemradio.com, Rant Entertainment Media, on the Shining Wizards Network. It'll be on turnbuckletrowbacks.com. It'll be on TuneIn Radio. Just search Turnbuckle Throwbacks, all Rant Entertainment Media. It'll be on Geek Life Radio the Saturday after this is posted. So at like 9 p.m. Eastern Standard, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. So if you're in that time frame, shout out to all those guys at Geek Life in the Midwest. So, you know, it's a... For me, anyway, I could sit in my room with a mixer and my MacBook, my iMac, my man cave, and I'm proud of the man cave. It's coming along. It's consumed now with bobbleheads and baseball cards and fucking audio video equipment and wrestling figures that are posing for me right now. I got Arn Anderson giving me the stink eye from a distance. Of course, I got Zeus standing next to me. You know, we all know about Zeus. I just might as well, just for shits and giggles, I'll play the clip. Yeah. And I got a new TV a couple of months ago when my tax return came. So I gave my son my old flat screen, which is still a good flat screen. It's a Sony Bravia. It's fantastic. It's like 42 inches. I put it in his room. and I took his 20-inch little TV and I put it in my room, my man cave, and I'll be able to stream media off of it soon, but I connected an N64 to it. Shout out to my buddy Choppy, who brought some games over to me, some wrestling games. I love Nintendo 64. All those wrestling games were cool as shit. WCW, NWO Revenge, Mayhem, World Tour, WrestleMania 2000. One of my favorite games, not even wrestling related, it's Ken Griffey Baseball. You know? So, let me see. Put a fan on over here. It's getting a little warm in here. Maybe not. It would help if I clean the fucking room too, you know? There we go. So, but yeah, I try to run a tight ship. It's hard when you're never home. Like today will be my only day to clean the house, get ready for the show tonight, pick up Junior, do his homework, clean him up, you know, and just make sure that things are in order for the next day. And that's pretty much the goal in life, just trying to get through the day and get through the day happy. I think the hardest part for me in my adult life, it was finding purpose, you know. And there's a play that I'm very fond of. It's Avenue Q. If you don't know what Avenue Q is, look it up. It's a really funny play. It's with a bunch of puppets, actually. It's off Broadway. And part of the whole deal is when this guy, he needs to find his purpose. What is his purpose? He moves to this block. He meets a bunch of people who have all fucked up lives. And he tries to find the purpose. And I kind of relate to him because I've grown up too fast. I had to grow up too fast because of my upbringing. And not that I missed out on a ton of things, but I missed out on very crucial and critical points of a child's life where you needed guidance. And I didn't get it. I got it from a school teacher. I got it from a friend's dad, or I would get it from reading. You know what I'm saying? I really didn't get that at home. And I'm not blaming anybody because my mom's a great mom, to her credit. You know, here's a person who's, you know, she was a teenage mom herself and, you know, barely made it out of the eighth grade because of delinquency and all that other good stuff. But she did her due diligence, you know what I'm saying? She tried. And I don't want to hold anybody accountable because my dad was never around. And I don't want to be the guy who goes, oh, I didn't have a father growing up, boo-hoo, you know, pity me. I don't want a pity party. So, getting help now and having a family and having some kind of structure has set me to have purpose. So, waking up every day and having purpose, going to work, doing something productive, maybe even saving a life or two, which I've done, which is cool, on the truck and off the truck. And I think that's important for me, too. I took a very humble profession because I was good at it. And I could have went back to school. I could have done, you know. And that's another thing. Too many people live with regrets, you know. And once you start doing that, it consumes you. Oh, I should have went to school. I should have married so-and-so. Oh, man, I should have, you know, moved to that place in my time, you know. And then you start doing the coulda, shoulda, would've. And it consumes you. Don't let it consume you. You know, if you make a mistake, you learn from it, you move on. And I think that's the hardest part of being a grown-up. I got a lot of young guys listen to the show. And, you know, either they got this shit together or they don't. I don't know. I don't ask them. I don't care. I love them all the same. Some of the young guys have families already. And if you got your shit together and you have a purpose, you're going to be okay. Don't let money ruin you. Don't let your job ruin you. Don't let other people ruin you. I had a real problem with taking constructive criticism for a long time. I was constantly on the defensive. I thought, well, my shit didn't stink. Or who are you to fucking tell me, you know, how to run things when you know. A lot of people I got advice from, too, were very hypocritical. You know, they would tell me, you know, don't do that, don't do this, but yet you're doing that with somebody else. Or, you know, like my dad, who was a convicted felon and junkie half his life, but he was an intelligent dude. So when he tried really hard to give me some kind of advice, he tried to do it as a friend and not a father because he knew he wasn't there. And, you know, I used to take offense to it. I'm like, well, who are you to tell me? You know, you just did 3 years in jail because you couldn't get that dragon off your back, that demon off your back, you know? And it took his life eventually. And I learned a lot from that. I learned that if you sit back sometimes and listen to people, and you, all they want you to do is listen, or in my case, even read. I talk to people from all over the world on social media because of the show. And I have friends in, now I have friends in like the UK and the Middle East and other parts of Europe. And, you know, I think it's, you know, they come from different walks of life. So we don't see eye to eye in certain things. And not because, well, some of us are the same age. But not because we're so different. I think it's because they probably dealt with the same kind of things in different ways over there, especially politically. I remember when we had the stuff going on in Baltimore and the stuff going on in St. Louis earlier in the year, and it was just consuming everything. And people were, you know, against it. They were for it. And when it affects your life in your everyday life, it's kind of hard not to take it offensively, you know, like with the whole thing with the protesting. You know, when you have a 2 hour commute and you work a 10 hour shift, and it takes you now 3.5 hours to get home instead of 2 hours, and you have to get up again at 5 a.m. do it all over again on 3 hours of sleep, it sucks. It does. I don't care what you do. Do it right. There's a way to do it. People didn't see that. Sometimes criticism bothers me with the show, too. Like, people, you know, sometimes Dave will get... I'm not going to lie. Sometimes Dave will get like, oh, Dave, you did really well last night. Or sometimes I'll get it, and Dave doesn't get it. Like, Phil, you were great last night, you know, and I don't want to take all the credit. And I know Dave doesn't want to take all the credit because we're a team effort. But then you got, like, you know, good example, like 2 weeks ago. No, I'm sorry. 3 weeks ago, I hosted a pre-show for one of the pay-per-views for the rant. And I call it a pay-per-view, but it's not pay-per-view anymore because, well, technically it is because you're paying for the network. But it was in the rant does a pre-show. If you don't know the rant, the network that we're a part of does a pre-show and post-show for every the monthly events for WWE. All right, so they asked me to tab it. And you know what? I'm a company guy. You know, I pay nothing to broadcast. AA does it all out of his pocket. And I'm not ashamed to say that, you know. So if AA says to me, hey, Phil, can you record something for me? Or, hey, Phil, can you host something for me? Phil, can you... I've opened up my Skype to other shows so they can record because their stuff was down. So I've done stuff for the rant, and I don't mind. If I'm there, I'm doing it because, you know, this pay service, we're getting it for free. So I'm blessed. So when the boss comes to you and goes, hey, Phil, can you, you know, I want to take the night off. No problem. I take, you know, now, for those who don't listen, and there's some of you that listen to our show and even the rant that don't listen to the pre-shows because you don't like WWE, and that's fine. I know other show hosts on other shows and other networks that don't watch WWE or don't like it. So you're not going to listen to the fucking pre-show or post-show to something you don't like, right? It's common sense. You get the usual suspects. Everything's run by Skype. I hate Skype. I love and I hate Skype. It's a love-hate relationship with myself and this program of Skype. Skype is great because Dave lives a half hour away, and he can't come to my house every week, so I Skype him in. That's what I love about it. I love Skype because I could talk to everybody from all over the place. All our hosts live in the Southeast. They live, our listeners that we have in the Southwest and the Midwest. We have Pacific Northwest people, you know, Europe. I mean, people all over the world, right? I love that aspect of it. Here's what I don't like about it. It's a pain in the ass to get the settings right when you're running a network or you're running a broadcast because you have to make sure you hear everything. You have to make sure I'm going to be able to talk to you, and not only am I going to be able to hear you, but I want the audience to hear you as well because we're broadcasting live. That's A. Or we're recording. I still want them to hear you when they download the show. That's one. Two, it's like a 90s fucking party line. And people just talk over each other. Everybody wants to get on. Everybody wants to have their say. Everybody wants to get the point across. And we have a show on Saturdays that does that. They have, it's like a call-in show. That's what it's called. It's called the Wrestling Call-In Show. And the host takes three or four calls, sometimes up to eight calls, and he's just letting these guys talk. And I don't like it. I think it takes away from the people who are running it. That's just me, though. I'm not mad at anybody else who does it. I, you know, The Rant does it, too. I can't do it. So now the usual suspects call in, and it's normally other hosts from other shows that are on there every week. Now, here's the thing. I'm a loyalty guy. That's how I grew up. I feel like if you're a person who constantly gives their time to something, you should get carte blanche, right? I think guys, you know, I'm not gonna name drop, but there are two people in particular who are on pretty much every pre and post show, and they have their own shows. So if they're calling in while I'm running the opening credits or the music or whatever, you know, then you should be on first. Here's the problem. By the time I start broadcasting, now I have five and six people on. And you only have an hour to get your point across and get everybody's prediction. And we stray away from it, or we get into a heated topic about some of the matches. And it's nice, good, healthy debates. It's not nothing derogatory, nothing like that, because I respect everybody's opinion. And that's the main thing, too. Opinions, man. This is all opinions. All of it's opinions. I'm not getting paid to talk about it. You're not getting paid to talk about it. And sometimes our opinions are wrong. Let's be honest. Or our predictions are wrong. When you're spot on, God bless. When you're off, that means that WWE or whatever we're talking about has done something to throw you off, and that's cool. I like being thrown off. If it tells me a good story, I like being thrown off. So anyway, let me get back to the party line. So I didn't take three or four calls while I was broadcasting for a couple of reasons. A, because I wasn't watching the Skype. I was watching the chat room, and I was paying attention to the callers, right? That's one. Two, I just didn't want to take any more. I subconsciously didn't want to take any more calls, right? So I apologized, and someone was belligerent and, you know, put me on blast, tried to put me on blast anyway on social media, and I cut that. And the person didn't obviously hear that I apologized at the end of my broadcast because the person was belligerent even the following day. So I don't like doing it. And I could take constructive criticism, you know. When you try to call me out, I'm going to put you on blast, you know. And, I mean, it's water under the bridge now. But my point is, I'm not going to let someone else dictate something I'm doing for free. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to – in a way, I care that you want to get your point across, but another way, I don't. Because I'm sitting here running this for somebody else and you're not, you know. I have the capability and I have the skills now to do this. And you don't. You know, you want to get your point across? Be more active on a social media page. Send an email. Send a tweet. Send a Facebook. Do fucking Instagram. Do something that's going to get your point across. But you have loyal people that listen every week and they want to come on. And I even had another show host message me the next day. Yo, man, why didn't you take my call? You know I'm friends with that wrestler, so-and-so, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yo. I'm like, I did not want to take your fucking call, dude. I was, like, not paying attention. I'm trying to run. It's really hard. People think it's hard. I don't have an engineer. It ain't like when you're in a radio station and you're sitting behind the glass. You have people that do this shit for you. We don't have that capability. Everybody who runs a show on these networks does it from their house, behind their computer, behind their microphones with mixers and other components. That's a skill. that half our audience probably will never experience because A, they don't want to, or B, they can't. And that's fine. I don't mind that. I want you to listen. I want you to enjoy my show and all the other shows from The Rant and The Shining Wizards Network and Geeks of the Industry and The Bloke Show and all these other shows that I like. Wrestling Soup and Don Tony and Kevin Castle. I mean, all these shows that I like. You know, a lot of these guys don't have a studio or a producer. You're doing it. You're doing everything. You're editing. You're adjusting. You're taking calls. You're fucking responding in the chat rooms if it's live. I'm going to break the fourth wall right now. I do every single thing for Turnbuckle Throwbacks. I promote. I edit. I record. I broadcast. All Dave does is call in. Obviously, he helps me with show prep in terms of material. When I'm stuck and I don't have the time or he's passionate about something, he'll say, hey, can we do this? And I think I've told him no once, maybe once in 2 years. So that goes to show you how much respect I have for Dave. Breaking that fourth wall, okay? I even pay for the fucking website that I put the show up on. Okay, so I'm breaking the fourth wall. There you go. Okay, so I don't have a producer. The most help I've gotten was from the website because I didn't know how to build it. And that was all Shining Wizards Tony who threw me a bone and said, Phil, you need this, this, and this. Get me this, this, and this, and I'll build it for you. And he did. And I'm forever in his debt. I love Tony. I love those guys. They're forever my friends and they're good people. And I'm surrounded by great people. Great people who do good things. Great things for this. To this medium that we're doing now, this podcast. Everybody's got a fucking podcast now. Actors, actresses, wrestlers, musicians, politicians, every kind of genre has a podcast. My phone used to have music on it. I have zero music on my phone now. It's all podcasts. To the point now where I have to use virtual storage to back my shit up because I have, or if I don't delete something. Because I have that much kind of shit in my arsenal in terms of podcasts. I listen to a lot of podcasts. Thumbstick Ninjas, Colt Cabana, I listen to once in a while. I love Jamie Josta from Hatebreed's podcast. You know, and now all the big guys got one. Taz has one. Flair has one. Austin, Jim Ross. All these guys have a fucking podcast now. So, anyway, getting back to the party line again, I'm not going to beat a dead horse. I'm just saying, like, my point is, it's very hard to do this when you're doing it by yourself. And I'm not looking for a pity party. I'm not looking for a pat on the back. I get enough of the respect from my peers. And I get a lot of great and wonderful feedback from our friends that listen to the show. And a lot of them I have as friends, like, they're... Like, some of these guys have been into my house, at my home, with my family, during holidays. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's that kind of party, you know? So, I'm a pretty open guy. I don't have a stage name. I just have a little bit of a stage name that plays off of my last name. But everything you hear on Turnbuckle Throwbacks is me. Nothing is, it's an extension of me. How I talk to you guys is pretty much how I talk to everybody else, including my family and my coworkers. My bosses think I'm insane. I've had friends of my wife just look at me like I had three heads. But if you know me and you know me long enough, you get it, and I appreciate that. The fact that you're taking your time to listen to this right now is awesome, and I'll always appreciate that. You know, even though I've sold 12 shirts in 3 years, because wrestling fans are cheap. I still love all of you anyway. You know, it's not about selling t-shirts. I sell t-shirts to defer the cost of the website and the Skype and my internet bill. I make zero money off this. Labor of love. Everybody, all these shows you listen to, most of the shows you listen to on your phones or how you ever you stream your podcasts, there's nothing monetarily. Okay? You look at the Midnight Jury. Those guys do a pop culture and wrestling podcast. So you get an hour of Mike and Adam and Sydney and Cal and all those other guys, and all the other and rest of those guys. You get an hour of them talk about some crazy movie from back in the 80s. And then you get a wrestling throwback. You get a nice review. You know, that takes a lot of work. They travel from all over the place to get to Mike. You know? So, the Shining Wizards don't live all in the same place. They live in the same state, but they have to drive, you know? They get to each other, to the point where they split up in two different studios. Don Tony does it from his house. Sometimes his parents' house, you know? Kevin Castle does it from his telephone, because, you know, 1996 for him. I love Kevin, but Kevin doesn't use the computer like we do, you know? He still calls in like he's calling in the hotlines. So, and that's what I love about these shows. Everybody has their own flavor. You know what I'm saying? The Bloke Show is international. One guy's from Canada. One guy's from fucking Australia. You know? When Felonious does Sleeve Notes, you know, he's doing it from his place out in the UK, you know? Deck from Ireland. All these guys, you know, it's like, and same thing with Geeks in the Industry. They're all not in the same place. Mega Pals Radio. I know one guy's in Cali. I forget where Rhea is. I forget where she is location-wise, but she's not in the same state. That's talent. That's work. Okay? And if you guys listen every week, then you appreciate it. Colt Cabana does it from his studio apartment, you know? But you or some fucking hotel room in Japan, right? If you listen, and you do, then you know, and you appreciate it, and we all thank you, and I'll be an advocate for all those guys and say good, because there's a lot of interesting things going on in the world, in terms of wrestling, and, you know, the pop culture thing is weird, too, because that's why I like shows like The Midnight Jury, because all the stuff they talk about, I've seen, so to hear their opinions on it is cool. I can care less. I don't go to the movies anymore. I go to the movies maybe 3 or 4 times a year. Either it's for the kid, for a cartoon, or it's got to be science fiction related or superhero related. And I'll take one for the team and go to a, with my wife to a bitch flick. It's a bitch flick. It's what the girls like, the love stories, sappy love stories. And I'm glad that some of them suck, because I tell her, you know, you could have waited for DVD, you know. And her point would be, well, I could have waited for DVD for Avengers, but I went anyway. So touche, pussycat, you know. But that's what you do, sacrifice. If you love something enough, you sacrifice, and you sacrifice all of it to make it the best, the very best it can be. And that's what we try to do every week with Turnbuckle Throwbacks, now being in our third year. I'm gonna sip that Pepsi Max. It's delicious. But, so, you know, I'm sorry if, you know, I can't hear everybody's call sometimes, or I'm sorry if I don't respond to everybody's messages all the time. I live a pretty hectic life. And if I think if I didn't live the lifestyle I live, I don't think I could do the show. I don't. I think the lifestyle drives me to work harder at certain things in my life, professionally and personally. You know, the better I do with the show, I feel like the better I do at work, the better I do with my life and my relationships with my family and friends and stuff like that. I think it just brings out another element, another extension of you, you know? So even though I'm not, everything is out in the open, you're still going to get some more of me doing this, you know? Freedom of speech is a fun thing. It's a great thing. Nothing is free in this world. We know that. You know, nothing is free. And hold on a second. My phone is blowing up here. So, oh, great. They're out of refills. Awesome. Okay. My pharmacy. I like how your pharmacy sends you text messages now. Sorry, Phil, you don't have any refills. You have to call your doctor. Okay. Thank you. Nothing's free. And there is a price for freedom, especially if you're a soldier defending our country or you're defending somebody else's country, wherever you're from. Freedom is defined very, very differently in other places in life. In the walks of the world. I get it. And, of course, every 4 years you get to... It's your God-given right to vote these people in. That these people that are allowing your freedoms, or I don't want to say controlling your freedoms, but they're overseeing stuff that was written for us hundreds of years ago, you know? And social media has become a launching pad, an outlet for everything. I complain about my commute. I complain about my show. I plug my show on there. I complain about my sports teams. I complain about bad service in the restaurants. I complain about almost everything on social media because it's fun to get your point across and maybe even crack a joke once in a while and make somebody smile. Or I just do it so I don't take a hostage on the bus. You know, every 4 years, you know, our leaders, so-called leaders, depending on where you stand politically. And again, I've been a registered independent since 1992. So I pick the best person I feel who's going to help the country, whether it's a Democrat, Republican, or independent. But there was a debate yesterday after real estate mogul Donald Trump announced that he was running for president, you know, and the outpour on this thread was amazing. Didn't agree with half of you. Can care less because I'm not going to decide my vote on what you say on social media. But the passion was there. You got old guys, young guys, girls. There were a very eclectic bunch of people on this one particular thread, right? My issue, and my main issue to this day, is this country in terms of voting. As of last year, I believe the total census was over 300 million people that live here that are accounted for. What I mean, that's not counting the illegals, that they can't vote anyway, but 300 million people live in this country alone, okay? 40% of you don't vote. Now, your next question could be, well, Phil, how do you know that those 40% are going to make a difference? I don't know. Well, how do you know that 40% is just, and somebody made up a good point yesterday, maybe they just don't want to vote for anybody who's running. And somebody else said, well, that's laziness. Is it laziness or is it empathy? It's both. I can't see, if you're a middle-aged person, I can't see in 20, 30, 40 years, there was not one single politician, locally or nationally, that you didn't hear something he or she said and said, I'm behind that. That's going to help my state. That's going to help my country. It's going to help my town where I live. And I'm not saying the politicians are all great, because they're not. They all have an ulterior motive. Most of them have an ulterior motive. Most of them say things that they're going to do, or they tell you they're going to do something, and when they get in the office, they don't do it. And that's another thing that probably scared people away. Well, I voted for that guy or that girl. They did nothing for me. They told me they were going to get me a better taxes, or they told me they were going to get better school systems in my district. They told me they were going to lower the deficit. They told me they were going to raise minimum wage. They told me all these things, and then they didn't do it. So I'm not voting no more. My mom is 60 years old. Just turned 60, right? My mom and I have stopped talking about politics because every couple of years she'll say, oh, that fucking guy, that Giuliani, that Bloomberg, that Dinkins, that Obama, that Bush, that Clinton. And my response is, well, did you vote? And that ends the argument. Because she's never voted in her entire life. I'm not saying you have to pick up a New York Times and read about every politician. I'm not saying that you have to be some kind of political expert. I'm not saying you have to be, you have to watch Meet the Press every Sunday morning. I'm saying that if you just take the time to look into stuff, even locally, you'll have an idea of what's going on. And if you want to make your decision after you look into it and say, I'm not voting, then I'll have more respect for you. But don't tell me things are bad in our country and you don't vote. Because when I go to voting polls, and this is crazy, I've lived in three different boroughs out of the five. I lived in Queens, I grew up in Queens and the Brooklyn border, I lived in Brooklyn, and now I live on Staten Island, okay? Every time I go to the voting polls, no matter where I lived, it was the same people voting. Because I don't know how you guys, I don't know if you know this, but in New York, you have to go to designated areas depending on your zip code. That's where you register. It could be a school. It could be a senior citizen center. It could be a storefront. The city designates your voting poll by where you live. So you go every year, either every 2 years for locally, every 4 years for, you know, whatever it is. And it's the same people. To the point where you sat in line and go, hey, how's things? I haven't seen you in 4 years. How's things? Seriously. Same people work there. It's volunteers. The same old people that are there. And they, you know, they get paid to do it all day from like 6 in the morning to 10 at night. It's extra cash in their pocket. And the same people. Oh, how are you? Has things? Has the family? Good, 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 good. And they remember you. Some of them remember your name. That's sad. I could see if it only happened to me in Brooklyn, but it's happened to me in Brooklyn, it's happened to me in Queens, and now it's happened to me on Staten Island. The same people go to these polls. I can't speak for any other state, because I don't vote in any other state. I don't know how it is in your state. But that disgusts me. It does. 40% of 300 million people is a lot of fucking people. And again, let me emphasize this. I'm not saying it's going to make a difference, but it's a start. More people get involved. More people have a voice. You're going to make noise. And there's so much shit going on. The deficit, you know, police brutality, racism is still an issue. Can you believe that in 2015? Minimum wage, like this bullshit, like it just, a lot of stuff is going on, man. Healthcare is an issue to most people. Hardworking people. I know people who work their asses off and they can't get a good fucking dentist. Come on, man. The epitome of the blue collar is where I live in New York. My town, where I live, is blue collar. It's cops, firemen, garbage men, first responders, veterans, and just old houses, and it's got that old-timey feel to it, and it's not a big place. It's probably one of the only places in the five boroughs you can still probably afford a house if you have a combined salary like I do with my wife. You know, housing is an issue. Old people getting thrown out of their rent control houses after fucking 40 years of living there. Now it's like, well, we want to, you know, build a condo there, or we want to raise your rent. And we know you've been there for 40 years and we know you lived on a fixed income. But I can rent the same place for $2,500 a month and you're paying me $400 a month. You see where I'm going with this? So there's a lot of issues that need to be taken care of. And the only people who control it is the people. That 75-year-old lady's not going to go and vote. That's getting thrown out of her apartment after 40 years. Her daughter, who's probably my age, is not going down to vote, probably. Because she's mad at the politicians. She's mad at the city. She's mad at law enforcement. She's mad. If you grew up in an area, I grew up in an area where police brutality was a regular. White, black, Hispanic, Eastern European, no matter what you were, because that's where I grew up, in my neighborhood, you had black, Hispanic, white, and you had like Eastern European people, Slovakian, Polish, you know, that kind of, from that part of the world, okay? Cops didn't care. One of the worst precincts, police precincts in the five boroughs I lived next to. I grew up blocks away from. They knew your name, they knew your family. If one of your family members were a criminal, hint, 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 you were a target. No matter where you were, they thought you were a fucking criminal. Sometimes I couldn't go to a store without being followed. Or I couldn't go out of the neighborhood to hang out with a girl and have detectives come to my house and question my mom about my dad, but they were questioning, that we have the same name, so they thought it was me. You know what I'm saying? Like, that kind of shit bothers me. But that's what drove me to vote. When I was 18 years old, my 18th birthday, I went to the fucking post office. I registered for the military to get, you know, in case they needed me. Because at that point, it was a law. You had to register, right? And I registered to vote. I registered to vote. I mean, the guy I picked didn't win. And being 18 years old, I got discouraged. But I went back. When the mayor at that time cut the budget to my high school baseball team that I made the junior varsity baseball team, and they cut the fucking budget the day of the final workouts. My name was on a roster. I was going to get a uniform. I was going to play junior varsity baseball for a top-ranked team in the city. I would have been their first left-handed catcher in history. I was batting 400 in preseason. I was catching kids that were getting drafted by professional baseball teams in exhibition, catching guys who were throwing like legit heat that were on their way to college. It was seniors in high school. Two of the guys I caught wound up playing college ball. One guy went pro, but he dropped out. He got hurt. I was okay with that. I was an okay player, and I made their squad. And the day I fucking went to get my uniform, they cut the budget. That drove me to vote. You know, local. When I started volunteering EMS in my town, local assemblymen and councilmen, they wanted certain things done. They're pushing for certain laws, and they were pushing for grants for certain things, for like ambulances for us and equipment and space and like permits for events and shit. They have an agenda, but it was benefiting the town. If I get a better ambulance, I can treat you better. If I get more equipment, I can help more people. You vote for those people. And they give you like little citations and shit, you know. Thank you for your support and stuff like that. And some of the guys I didn't vote for, they still gave me a citation because it's the right thing to do. You know, public servants are, you know, looked at differently from, you know, in the same town from different people. You know, it just depends on where you are in your life and what you feel is more important. Some things that are important to me aren't that important to you, and vice versa. Some things affect you financially, it won't affect me. Vice versa. It's funny, this game of life. It really is. You look at it and you're like, oh, who cares? I'm not voting. I'm not doing that. And that's what happens. That's what happens. 40% of you go, ah, I don't give a shit. 40% of 300 million people is a lot. I don't give a shit what you tell me. And that's the problem with this country. So you're going to have Donald Trump. You're going to have another Bush in there, the third Bush of them all. You're going to have another Clinton, probably a female Clinton to that. And you're going to have other people that hopefully pick up steam and get their point across, and you'll have a decent race. If not, that 40% is going to sit in a bar and complain to their coworkers on Monday morning. Oh, or the next day, oh, I can't believe he's in, or she's in, or they're in. It's like, you didn't vote. You know, I missed my mayor, the vote for the mayor. by 30 minutes because I couldn't get there. I left work early to get there on time to my poll, and I missed it, and I was visibly upset. I was visibly upset. I missed the mayor vote. The first time I missed a vote in over 20 years. Because the polls closed and I was stuck in fucking traffic on the BQE. During my shitty commute. So I really can't complain about the mayor because whether I voted for him or not, I didn't vote. So I have to eat shit if he's doing a bad job for the next 3 years. And that's pretty much my political rant. I'm not going to... All I'm saying is, rock the vote. Rock the vote. You know? And that's pretty much how where I stand with that. I'm sorry, my phone is blowing up here. And I normally ignore my phone when I'm waiting for a call. Pretty important. And I thought I got it. But anyway... So by the time you get this, a couple of things will have happened. Dusty Rhodes passed away. We're going to do a whole tribute to Dusty. And I'm not going to get into it on here because I'll save it for the show. Ring of Honor will have had their Best in the World pay-per-view. And then a house show the next day in New York. Impact will have Slammiversary as a pay-per-view. A lot of things going on in wrestling. I do, however, want to address the China Joni Lawler. I'm sorry, Joni Lawler thing. So she was on Opie, and Jimmy's radio show last week, and she was talking about being raped and having a shitty life, and while this is going on, she's pointing fingers at certain people she was with. Hence, X-Pac, who doesn't listen to the show. Gets tweeted, and he's like, oh my God, she's, running her mouth. And he goes and calls the show in and calls her out on every single thing she said. That didn't happen, this happened. That didn't happen, this happened. And then her reply was, no, instead of saying no, it didn't, she goes, well, maybe this happened. I was too messed up. Maybe that happened. So you got caught in a lie because you didn't think he was going to call. And you blew your spot up. You got your spot blown, I should say. I don't understand. I really don't understand. Here's a woman. I use that term loosely with China. But here's a woman who revolutionized this genre. Okay? X-Pac said she was the Billie Jean King of wrestling. She was doing stuff in the ring with men that women normally wouldn't do. Okay? And she was in a place, a really good place, and then she wasn't. For whatever reason, this is what happened to her life. And then she did a downward spiral, got involved in drugs, got involved with dudes that were not too cool to her, and then got involved in, porn, right? Does it make you a bad person to be involved in porn? It really doesn't. However, it puts you in a position where if you're in the public eye, and you do something like that, you're kind of going to get looked at a certain way. No matter how bad you were or how great you were at your job, now you're in porn, and you were a celebrity, a pseudo celebrity. Millions of people watch what you did on TV. Now, thousands are watching you do it with no clothes on. Again, doesn't make you a bad person. But, you can't ask for a pity party and you're taking two dicks at a time. You're getting gangbanged with green paint on, You can't. I'm sorry. I feel like if I had a terrible upbringing, which I did, I'm not going to go and, if I'm going to do drugs after that, I'm not going to you know, and I'm not a celebrity, but I wouldn't publicly do something that's going to incriminate me. Because that's just an intent. She's an attention whore. You know, you're an attention whore. The less exposure for me to pop, better. In terms of if I was that kind of person, if I was had a bad upbringing and I was a junkie, I'm not gonna, you know, come out and ask for something like that or say, hey, you know, I fucked up, you know, pity me, worry about me, do this for me, do that for me. No, doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that. You know, in life you make choices. Grown-ups make bad choices all the time. You know what? Again, I said this at the top of the podcast. Learn from your mistakes. Don't fret. Pick it up, chalk it up as a loss, carry on. I'm telling you guys, it's probably the hardest thing I had to do as a grown-up. Because I was like, oh man, I did this. I said that. I went there. I did this. I did that. I hurt somebody. I broke their heart. I did this, did that. And if you didn't do any of these things, or if I didn't do any of those things, I can't be sitting here talking to you. It is impossible not to learn from your mistakes if you allow it. It is impossible. I beat myself up. I still do. Oh, I fucked up. I can't believe I fucked up. You know, I do it all the time. I have tunnel vision, but you pick yourself up, you try to learn, and it's hard when you have fucking, you know, clinically depression issues, and you have ADHD that should have been diagnosed 25 years ago, but you suck it up, you move on. You just do it differently. Something that may take you 10 minutes, it'll take me an hour. But then again, something that takes me 10 minutes to do will take you an hour. And that's what makes me, and you. And that's great, because we are different people, and that makes the world go round. Embrace that aspect of it. But China, please, stop. The best thing you could do is fix your life up. The best thing you could do is fix your life up and just start anew. Stop asking for money. Stop asking for handouts. Stop expecting people to give you things because of where you were previously in your career. You don't deserve it. Your peers are getting accolades from their accomplishments, and you should be too. Because they were all around the same time you were. Every year now, I would see that Hall of Fame thing, and they're all there. You? Not so much. You should have been in 5 years ago. Because you were a female, and you were doing stuff that men and women don't do in a ring. Normally, I should say. Trend setting. And you're not there. You were dressing up as the She-Hulk. Taking multiple cocks to the face and the ass. Again, doesn't make you a bad person. It makes you bad if you allow it. Same thing with Sonny. You want to do porn? Do porn. But don't live in that glass house. Don't. If that's your means of money, do it. Live with it, do it. If you pick a career that you're going to excel at, do it. But if you're in the public eye and there's repercussions, that's on you. And you roll with it. Don't expect people to feel sorry for you. Don't expect people to give you a fucking handout. That's what people do. Every time something happens now, oh, I'm going to have a Kickstarter. I got a friend. I'm not going to blow his spot up. I'm not going to mention him by name. Because I think he's a great guy. He's a wonderful person. He's a great dad. He's a beautiful family. But he had a bout with cancer. Okay? Like bad. You know? It impacted his life. It impaired him. To the point where he couldn't walk. I mean, I'm sorry, he couldn't walk. He couldn't see for a while. He couldn't do certain things. And, you know, he stopped working, you know, and it sucks when you're the breadwinner and now you can't work, you know. But he goes and starts a Kickstarter because his medical bills are piling up. I guess he didn't get his coverage or whatever. Medical bills are piling up. Piling up. Okay, that's fine. You want to get help? People throw him a couple of bucks. That's fine. I was inclined to do it. I was about to do it. Till I saw that his significant other gave him, and he shows us on Facebook, mind you, $300 tickets to go see a play on Broadway. It's a slap in the face. It's a slap in the face because you're asking for money that you don't have, but yet your family's buying Broadway tickets, which is an expensive ticket if you live in New York. And I was like, you don't need the money that bad. You don't. And that bothers me. People who need it normally don't ask for it. They don't. Someone else normally steps up and goes, hey, so-and-so is hurt. Like back in the day, if you had a neighbor who was down in their luck and they, you know, they were on a fixed income and they couldn't afford anything and you buy them a quart of milk or a fucking loaf of bread or some cold cuts, you know? If you have a mom, a single mom who just divorced on my block and she had three kids and she couldn't, you know, her welfare only allows her to have a certain amount of food or, you know, whatever it is. You throw them some food. You buy the kid some clothes. You buy them a toy once in a while to forget about things. Or my mom would treat her mom to a bingo, night of bingo. That was big in my neighborhood back in the day. In my industry, in my field of work, when someone gets hurt on a job or they get injured, Or they have a catastrophe happen, or they have a house burnt down or something, or you know, somebody else says, hey, let's step up. My friend, my coworker, one of my dearest friends in the whole wide world, was living in a house with his wife in the middle of the island here with their adopted son, beautiful, beautiful fucking family, and Hurricane Sandy destroyed everything. They didn't own the house, but they owned everything in it and had nothing. Okay? So after 3 days of not having anything power-wise on my end, when we the first day we got fucking, like, electricity, we drove and got fuel, went to Costco, and dropped, like, almost $1,000 on groceries and thought nothing of it. That is what you do. You know, I'm not going to ask you for anything because, first of all, my pride won't allow me to, first of all. And secondly, I just feel like you do it on your own, you know. But don't ask me for something and you're doing that. You know, don't do that, man. Don't do that. Life is too short. Enjoy it. Money doesn't dictate you. It just keeps you afloat, you know. Whether you have a lot or a little, I never had any. I didn't. I still don't. I mean, I have things. I have beautiful things here, but I've acquired them over the years because of just working extra shifts or working an extra job or two or, you know, buying stuff on discount or on layaway, 5 easy payments, you know, shit like that. I'm not, you know, we could barely get by because of where we live. It's expensive to live where we are, and that's fine. And then everybody lives above their means because it's easier for you to acquire certain things. And that's part of the country's problems, too, but I don't want to get back into the politics of it all. But the bottom line is I'm not going to ask for something when I have the means to get it. I'm not. That's not who I am. You know. And I didn't want to say that about my friend and all that, and I'm not going to call him by their name because it's not right to do that because But it bothered me enough to where it's not just him, it's other people that I don't know who are doing it that are mutual friends of other people. They just ask for things like I want to do this film project, fund it. Why? Do it on your own. I people just start Kickstarters now for anything. I need a new TV. Please help me out. You need a new TV? You didn't need those concert tickets. Or you didn't need, don't say you need something when there wants. You need food. You need shelter. You need clothing. To an extent now, you need a cellular phone. Not the one that does all the fancy stuff that our phones do, but you need some kind of communication. That's what you need. Food, shelter, and communication. And clothing, I'm sorry. You can't walk around naked. Well, can't walk around naked here anyway in New York. But that's pretty much it. So we covered a lot of ground tonight. Whenever you download this. I'm trying to think if I had anything else. I don't have anything else written down. I see a lot. I read too much, man. I read way too much on the internet. Sometimes I open up social media and if I didn't have the show and I didn't have family that I haven't seen in 20 years and I connect with them every couple of months, I'd actually cancel Facebook. And my wife canceled Facebook. Of course she fakes the funk and signs in under another name so she can watch people because she's a stalking crazy person. But, after the whole thing with Baltimore and then the whole thing with St. Louis, she just got bitter and she just shut everything down. And you forget that you have different people from different walks of life that you're friends with, that you have some kind of connection to, Same thing with wrestling, man. It's like I cut off a bunch of wrestling people because I was just sick of their friggin' banter. It was like, oh, I can care less about your about a match that you had, and then you're trying to put yourself over, and then people are like, oh, right, cool, and then you're like, I hate the fact that they put those pages up and they're still in character, and people are trying to talk to them, and I hate when people talk down to other people. That bothers me. Especially independent wrestlers, that irks the shit out of me. Like, who the fuck are you? Like, you're wrestling in gymnasiums and rec centers. You know what I'm saying? You're fucking, you're not on TV. And if you are, it's because your company is doing it regionally or whatever the case may be. I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about in other places I see it. But I've seen guys on social media and girls do it too. It's like, they're in character talking down to people on social media. And these are people that support you. These are people that buy your T-shirts and go to your fucking matches. That's the kicker of it all. Even if I didn't like you, if you're supporting my show, I got nothing but love for you, I hate that. Don't talk down to people, man. I use hate a lot, and I really shouldn't. I should say dislike. Hate's a really strong word. Especially in my faith, when you go to church, they don't like that word hate. Same way the girls don't like the word cunt. In England, they say it all the time, but you say it here, it's like the words cunt and hate are bad words here anyway. So I got to be more diligent about that. So what else is going on? Let me see here. Let me check my notes. All right. Talked about that. Just double check it. I don't dot all my I's and cross my T's. I'm pretty excited about the Star Wars project that I've been doing with the rant. Every month I'm doing, we're reviewing another movie. We're doing all six movies until the new one comes out in December. And part of me was liking it so much that I wanted to like just do a pop culture podcast. I just don't have the time to do all that. I thought about canceling Tumble Throwbacks and just doing like a sports pop culture thing like I did with the Man Cave guys. Because then I got all my points crossed. But if I get more than one podcast, I might be divorced. You know, I don't want to be divorced. I think I like my situation right now. So I allowed myself to, every time I do another project or I do something else, I get all excited. And I'm like, oh, I want to do this, but I can't, you know. I can't. I want to. I really can't. I want to. I just can't. So when I do these other projects, I get really excited, you know. And I'm doing a Star Wars thing. My buddy's great. Shout out to Lou. He's a good dude. And we're going to incorporate more people while we're going along. But, you know, reviewing these movies brings back a whole bunch of memories for me, man. Like a ton, you know. And I can't tell you how excited I am for Star Wars. I mean, Star Wars is such a part of my life growing up. It was like, it was the biggest thing. Every 2 years, 3 years, a movie would come out. And you got the trading cards from Tops from every movie. You went to a fast food chain. I think it was Burger King. You got the glasses every year. The toys were amazing. Like, posters, like everything, underoos. Like, it was just such a part of my fabric growing up, you know, that as an adult now I can relive this shit and talk about it and share my experiences with all you guys, which is fun. I like this medium of podcasting. I think it allows me to just shoot from the hip, and sometimes I do this on my own because, again, I don't want to, like, bore Dave with my nonsense, and I'm sure maybe he wants to do the same thing eventually if that tickles Dave's tits, if that's what he wants to do. I can't fault him for that. I'll post it because it's Mega Powers. You know how Mega Powers is. So, I mean, I feel like it's doing myself a service, you know, and doing all of you a service, too. I could say that with a straight face, that I'm doing you all a service, you know. But, yeah, it's a fun project, and I like the fact that all these movies are getting released now, and Marvel is doing their thing, and DC's doing their thing, and as an adult, I've seen some shitty science fiction and superhero movies as a kid, not counting Star Wars, of course. And now that all my heroes are coming on a big screen, with the technology is amazing. And I know half of it's CGI, but just to see my heroes get played out on a big screen like that is a big deal for me personally. It's a big deal for me personally because I didn't have that father figure. So all my heroes were on TV, or they were in a comic book, or they were on a baseball field, or a hockey rink. And, it's not a bad thing to have those kind of heroes growing up. It's not. It was always something to look forward to. That guy, Dusty Rhodes passing just devastated me, even though he was almost 70 years old. Just the way he died was just wrong. You know, I want him to die of old age and quietly, not, you know, fall down the stairs and fucking have complications, you know. But, like, I grew up with some really good stuff, sports-wise anyway, you know. I grew up in a really good time for baseball, and hockey was back on a resurgence, and the NFL was going through a transition, and the NBA and the NFL fell off a little bit in terms of the rules and the quality of the game. It was a lot better when I was younger and before my time, even baseball to an extent, but I could honestly tell you, you know, playing the Strat-O-Matic game, looking at, like, I just bought a set from 1994, it was like the strike year, and I went and got the 73 set, which was the first year of the DH, you know, and the 69 set was the expansion of the Padres and the Expos and Seattle, and I think there was one more team, there was four teams that expanded that year, I forget. It was Seattle, it was San Diego, Montreal, and there's one more American League team. Was it Texas? I don't know if it was Texas. Anyway, Doesn't matter. I'm not going to look it up now. But anyway, it's fun to do the other projects. It's fun to share them all with you. And I hope that you enjoy the future stuff that we have coming out, because it's I think it's quality shit. And if you don't think your stuff is quality, then don't do it. You know, that's why I roll with a lot of great guys and girls that do their thing. And I feel like I'm not like competition, because it's that's stupid, because nobody's competing for anything. Nobody's going to win anything. But I feel like every time we get we strive to get that to get our stuff out to the masses, it's like it's healthy to be with a bunch of people who are elite at what they do. And I'm very blessed for that. And for them to consider me a part of that is probably the most humbling thing ever, you know? So that's pretty much it for me, man. I'm going to start wrapping this up and finish out my day and stuff, but let me just play some background music for you. All right, so thanks a lot for listening to my filatorial. I'm going to have a few of these in the upcoming months, hopefully. Check out, of course, as always, turnbuckletheowbacks.com, Skype at TBuckleTbacks, Gmail is turnbuckletheowbacks1@gmail.com. We're on Stitcher, Audio Boom, Geek Life Radio, theshiningwizardsnetwork.com, rantemradio.com, on TuneIn, download the TuneIn app, search Rant Entertainment Media, and also search turnbuckletheowbacks, because that's what you need to do. What else? Any other plugs? That's pretty much it. Well, of course, go on iTunes and get, you know, give us a review. It helps us. The more people that review on iTunes, it puts us on another level in terms of popularity, apparently. So do that. Let me see what else I got going on. That's pretty much it, man. And enjoy your summer. If I don't talk to you guys on my own until then, peace out. Take care of yourselves, each other, avoid the clap. Don't get arrested. Hug your mom. Be kind to animals. And do something productive today. Have purpose. Bidding you all adieu, this is the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Ray. Until next time, peace out, boys and girls.